Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, we are talking about intimacy and being a mom and momhood. This episode, we are kind of debunking scheduled sex. We are talking about how to keep the intimacy alive and prioritizing yourself first and foremost. This episode is super juicy. Hope you enjoy.
Did you know that less than one third of women understand their reproductive hormones and how they work? But that's not you anymore. Period Power is going to teach you all about your hormones, how to work with your body rather than fighting your body, and really how to partner with your body to optimize your work, sex, dating, intimacy, literally everything. Period Power is something that I have been working on behind the scenes for a long time, and it has helped me step into partnership with my body and learn how to optimize my hormones to have a more energized, productive, happier life. And I want that for you. Join me in Period Power starting May. To learn more, go to periodpower.jordandonnell.com.
Joining me today is Christy. She is the CEO and founder of The Passion Coach. She is a wife, mother, and a certified life coach specializing in helping moms gain confidence in their relationship, the bedroom, and beyond. Christy helps moms who are seeking to establish or reestablish intimacy and connection with themselves and their partner after momhood. Her journey began in 2006 upon joining the sensual product industry, where she learned about sexual health and the impact it can have on women, their mental health, their bodies, and their relationships. Christy has consulted with women who had relationship struggles, didn't know what they wanted sexually or even how to ask for it, never experienced pleasure during lovemaking, didn't love their bodies, and lacked the desire to have sex. She knew that women needed support in this area, and it is what ultimately led her to become a life coach for moms. I met Christy through Clubhouse. We have done some rooms together. We've had multiple chats together, and I'm just so excited for her to join me to have this conversation here today. All right, Christy. Well, I am so excited to talk with you about intimacy and being a mom and how all of that plays into effect. And I just want to jump right into it and tell me, like, how does intimacy change with having children?
Oh boy, it changes for sure. And if you're not a mom yet and you think it's not going to change, it is. But I will tell you that it gets different. So here's what I mean by that. You don't necessarily lose intimacy unless you let it go, right? So as a mom, we are now taking care of this extra life who has been put into our arms, our hearts. And what happens is we focus solely on the baby, on the kids, and we tend to put ourselves to the side. We put our relationship to the side. And then we just constantly are taking care of everyone else. And our cup starts to empty out. And there goes the intimacy that we once had in our relationship. But listening to, obviously, podcasts like yours, Jordan, and to experts give you the warning before it comes about to prioritize your relationship, prioritize your intimacy, not only with your partner, but with yourself. That is the key to the way your intimacy changes. So if you let it go by the wayside because you think, I have to take care of the baby and put their needs before yours, that's when it's going to trickle down and it's going to spiral out of control. When you have the baby, you're going to feel, or kids, at whatever age you are as a mom, but you're going to feel guilty. That mom guilt's going to set in and you're going to think that you need to put their needs before yours. But what your children need is for you to put your needs first and to fill your cup first. Because I do it in order. The order is me, we, my family, right? That's my little metaphor there. Me, we, my family. Me meaning time for self-care. We meaning time for intimacy, connection, and bedroom play. And then family, which is you're taking care of your kids and you're able to pour from your fullest cup and give them the attention that they deserve because you've given yourself attention, your spouse attention, and now you're able to provide for them in the best way possible. So intimacy, yes, it does change, but it doesn't have to change for the worse. It can be better.
I love that. Me, we, then the family. I think that's so important. And, you know, I don't have children, but I have lots of friends who have children. And I commonly hear, like, I don't have time for that. My family comes first. But I just love that you point out that your children need you to put you first and foremost before prioritizing the family. Because if you don't take care of you, if your mental health is suffering, if your needs are not being met, you cannot meet their needs either.
Absolutely. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You need to take care of yourself first. And that's where motherhood kind of diverts us from the self-care routine, the intimacy and connection that you have with your partner. And it can be grueling and it can be devastating because you feel stuck and you feel trapped and you're in that hard place where you're feeling the guilt because you don't want to leave your kids. You don't want to go out on a date night. You don't want to risk leaving your child because you can take care of them better than anyone else can. There's no one in this world who could take care of them better. And that is true. But you have to also remember that the reason that child is there is because you and your partner created them. And without the two of you and without that connection, that bond that you had to begin with, there wouldn't be this blessing in your arms that you're wanting to take care of and fulfill their needs unless you first fulfilled your needs and your partner's needs.
I think that we got to say that a little louder for those in back. Like, that's just so important. So important. And you touched on this a little bit about being proactive about the transition into motherhood to make it more smooth. What are some ways to be proactive?
Yeah, as we transition into motherhood, we have a million things on our minds. And what the first thing is not prioritizing our relationship, but that should be very high on the priority list. And again, we tend to lose sight of that because we're caring for a human being that needs our attention more than anyone because they rely on us. But I really, when I work with women surrounding these issues, I talk about three things. One, keeping the relationship high on the priority list. So what that means is actually scheduling the time to connect with them, whether it's a 15-minute connection a day or whether it's actually connecting intimately in the bedroom. And some women tend to think, you mean scheduling sex? And that's exactly what I mean. Because if you don't schedule it as a mom, chances are it's not going to happen. It's just like scheduling a date night, scheduling time with your friends, scheduling a massage that you need, or getting your nails done. There's nothing wrong with prioritizing, scheduling, and then my third is asking for help, which as we tend to be or want to be the super mom and handle it all, know that it is okay to ask for help from whether it be friends, other mom friends, especially because they understand where you're coming from, family, babysitters. And I had major issues with this in the beginning when I became a mom. I'm a mom of 5-year-old twins. They're about to be 6. And it was really difficult, that transition to focus on myself and my needs. And eventually I was getting burnt out. And I saw I was pushing my husband away. And we've been married now, it'll be 11 years coming up. And we've had a wonderful relationship. But when I became a mom, I saw that I started to push him away. And at being in the position I'm in and working with women over the past 15 years, I was able to recognize that and know that I needed to do something, and I needed to do something quick. So I developed my system to prioritize myself, to have those conversations and really discuss what my needs were, what my desires were, and get things on the calendar. And then to ask the people in my network, my tribe, for help.
I love your system that you created. I think that that is so helpful. And I'm so glad you brought up scheduled sex, because that was something I wanted to talk to you about today. And that you see all the time, people are shaming scheduled sex. Well, if I have to schedule it, da 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 da, what does that mean? I am team schedule all of the sex, because you now have this dedicated time to connect with your partner. This doesn't even mean that it's penetrative. This truly is connection time, and it could result in sex, or maybe it's just some time alone to be bonding and be intimate and not necessarily have sex.
100%. And I will touch on that, on the scheduling sex. I always tell the women I work with, it's almost as if you're building anticipation. We think of it as a vacation, right? So you plan your vacation, you're packing, you've got your checklist, you are all excited about this upcoming trip. And that's how we have to approach scheduling sex, right? If we know that Sunday nights are our nights to connect, whether it be in the bedroom, out on a date, intimately, physically, or emotionally, that we are anticipating, and it's building that excitement, just like you're going on a vacation. So you know it's coming, and you know that you're going to look forward to it. So when you are at that point where, okay, it's we time, you're excited about it, and you're happy, and you are just so fulfilled, because you know that you're coming together to create and enhance that bond that you have with each other. And it's so important. And like I said, with scheduling, even if you're not a mom, when you're a career woman and you have your schedule, you're running 100 miles a minute, right? You know this, Jordan. You need that time to put aside for the both of you. And if it is scheduling sex and you think it takes the spontaneity out of it, I'm telling you, try it, because you will thank yourself. Thank high heaven that that you have put the time aside, made that time, because otherwise it just might not happen.
Yes. I actually was recording a podcast yesterday with a friend of mine about polyamorous relationships. And in polyamorous relationships, they also have scheduled time with other partners. And I think that it just shows that there are so many different relationship styles where scheduling sex is not scheduling sex. It's more of a, we are scheduling this time for connection, communication, bonding, intimacy, and can be so powerful. And it's not this like, oh, bend over, we're going to have it in this position, this is how it's going to go. That's not what scheduled sex has to look like. Can it? Absolutely. But it doesn't have to look like, hey, we're just going to go in and have sex, like bang, bang, thank you, ma'am, type situation. it can be a very intimate experience.
I agree. I actually today posted a reel on my Instagram that talks about this. And it says something to the effect of, go to the bedroom, but don't have sex. And how that's funny coming from me, a sex positive mom who helps other moms to get back into the bedroom and explore their sexuality. But the point was to be able to focus on intimacy. And I went through different scenarios of light touching, tantric eye gazing, really focusing on each other, massage, and everything but the act of intercourse, because it just brings you so much closer and intimate that when you do have intercourse and when you do hit all those pleasure points, ooh, girl, you'll be singing high praises.
Yes. Well, I always say that the next sex act ends after the last sex act. And everything that you do in between is building that anticipation. So if you have an experience like that where you're not having sex, but you are bonding and connecting with one another, that is building so much more anticipation for the future sex act that is potentially coming.
I love that. Absolutely love that. 100% true.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite things. I don't even know where I came up with that or how that got started, but one of my favorite things. You know, I have a girlfriend who actually has a friend that's a partner. They rent a hotel while they have a babysitter. This is their time for connection. And then after that, the babysitter time is up, they go home, or even this couple watches the baby while that couple is at their hotel party. And then they go to the hotel and have a little getaway of their own. And it's one way that you can get creative in this and that you can split the hotel with somebody, babysit each other's kids so that you have an opportunity to get away. Because again, nobody is going to be you to your children. But if it is maybe somebody that you really trust who also has kids, or maybe your kids are all similar ages, it's more of a play date for the kids while you get to go have date night. You have your own hotel, you have whatever that looks like for you. And it's just a creative way for fitting that in too.
And that is an amazing idea, because you have to get creative. Something else you can do if you're not into going out to the hotel, you can swap date nights, you know, with other couples too. So you take their kids, they go out on a date night, then next is your turn, you leave the kids with them. Similar situation. But getting creative as parents is something that we need to do, because we need to prioritize our relationship, and our libidos are only getting lower, right? So in order to keep them stimulated, we have to do these things. We have to really focus on each other. And how can we establish, reestablish, if it was lost, our intimacy and connection with each other? And ideas like that, even incorporating your children, not so much in the intimacy in the bedroom, but intimacy at home. If your children are of that age where they can make dinner for you, or even play waiter and waitress and serve you a nice candlelit dinner, and then the kids go watch a movie and mommy and daddy go upstairs. I mean, these are ways to incorporate a different kind of role play into your intimacy and connection time. But definitely getting creative will help you, and it'll be fun. It'll be a whole different dynamic for you, your spouse, and your kids. And this is so important to me, Jordan. I have to bring this up in this podcast, because it is so important that your kids actively see you and your partner and how you treat each other, how you respect each other, how happy you are with each other, because the way you model your relationship with your spouse and the time that you give your spouse and the energy, your kids will see that. And when they are old enough to be in relationships, they'll be able to recognize what a healthy relationship is versus a not so healthy one. And that is an important topic for me because I came from a broken home. My mother always had terrible relationships, and it was kind of the, here's what not to do. And I was able to recognize that. So I always like to throw that in there, that if, you know, really show your kids that mommy and daddy have time to themselves, to connect and love each other, that everyone in the house is happy. And this is what a relationship should look like.
Yes, I love that you brought that up, because that's literally where my head went as well, is that this also is a great opportunity to provide some sex ed for your children. And that topic, that conversation, I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but ultimately it starts at a young age. And if you're able to say like, hey, mom and dad have some time alone, this is our opportunity to connect, to continue to provide a loving home. I mean, let's be honest, if you're not connecting with your partner, it's going to affect the home life environment. And it can be just a really great tool to start providing that education for them as well, in modeling relationships. So important, because if they're not learning that at home, they're not getting that anywhere else. Nowhere else are they teaching what a healthy relationship looks like.
No, it is so true. It starts at the home. Sex education in schools is, that's a whole other topic that we could get into. It is not where it needs to be, and it starts at the home. But to get off of that topic also, if we're going back to being creative, another idea, and a lot of moms get grief and mom shaming for doing this, but electronics are your friend when you need a quickie. Okay. There are many times that me and the mister will hand the tablets over to the kids and, okay, this is electronics time. Mommy and daddy are going to go upstairs and we've got our own time. Okay. And like I said, my kids are young. My kids are 5, and they understand that their time is their time. Our time is our time. And if we need to get that quickie in and put the electronics in front of their faces, I want you moms to know out there, there is nothing wrong with it. Because if that's the only time that you can connect during a week, so be it. And don't feel guilty about it. No one should be shaming you for it.
Nope. Yeah, the couple minutes of screen time that they're going to get is not going to trajectorily, it's not going to change their life majorly. Let's just be honest. I was talking with a girlfriend of mine a few years ago about all of the mom shaming that happens on social media, and how I don't have kids. So I had said to her, I was like, yeah, of course, I want to have it be like this. But the reality is, none of that shit is going to happen, because when it comes down to it, I'm going to be like, you know what? I need a break. Here's your tablet. Oh, you know what? You want to fight me on everything you want to eat? Here's some chicken nuggets. And there's a point where it's like, yeah, you have these ideals of what you as a mom would like to do, or what you think other parents, quote, should do. But at the end of the day, you got to do what works for you, and it doesn't matter at all. Happy mom is important.
Right. 100%. You need to do what is right for your family, what is right for you, and all the naysayers, they can go scratch.
Yes, I love that. So you primarily coach moms in regards to their intimacy. What are some tips that you have for moms to help them improve their intimacy, especially if they've lost that connection with their partner and now they're coming back around and they're like wanting to invest time and energy into that?
So my number one tip, and what we talk about in our beginning sessions, is something that gets women very uncomfortable, but it needs to happen. And that's having the conversation, okay? The deep conversations that need to be had with their partner about what is currently lacking, what their desires are, what their hopes are, how they're feeling. Because when we go to that 6-week appointment after we've had the baby and we hear the doctor say, you can resume intercourse, and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And you're thinking all of these things, you're feeling all of these feels. Your partner has no idea. They're probably excited that they can get back into the swing of things, where you're thinking a million different things. Oh my goodness, what if I'm in pain? What if he hurts me or she hurts me? My boobs are sore. I don't know if I'm going to want to be touched. What if my milk flows out of my nipples mid intercourse? You know, there are a million things that go through our brain. And these are the things that we need to write down on paper. We need to do a brain dump. And we need to write it down on paper, and we need to share it and be vulnerable with our partner, because our partner cannot read our mind. And we need to voice these concerns. And I do have some different conversation tactics on how to bring things up. And we don't bring everything up at once, but small steps can have major impactful progress. So that's kind of where we start, having the conversations, getting your feelings out on paper, and talking to your partner about it. So there's a dialogue, and they know that they can communicate with you when you do eventually get back into the bedroom and ask, how does this feel? Is this okay? How are we doing? And have that open dialogue so both of you feel comfortable.
I love that. One thing that kind of comes to mind, and this is something I've been working on eventually putting together, but something called roundtable discussion, where you sit down with your partner weekly or however often you choose to talk about things that are coming up in your relationship, just like this, starting that communication, starting that open dialogue. For me, I desire to set up a relationship where this is already included. But for a lot of people, they are already in relationships, and then looking back, like, okay, how do I change these things to improve our communication? Do you recommend for your clients, like, weekly, biweekly, monthly, or like, how often do you recommend them having this open communication?
So we start with monthly. We start with monthly, especially if they're intimidated by it, and we start small. Then we start going a little bit more, maybe a biweekly or twice a month. Then it moves to weekly. And as they get more comfortable having these conversations, they're going to be able to talk about anything. Because listen, if you can talk about sex openly with your partner, there is no problem that you cannot tackle. So this really not only helps with your intimacy, your connection, your sex life getting back on track, it helps with everything, right? Because forming and having those conversations and being able to look at your partner, respect them, give them the time that they require, and vice versa, is so important for your relationship.
When you're saying that, what comes to mind to me is how important that would be for parenting. Because so many times you each have a different way of parenting that you think, quote, is the best way. And having the dialogue about how we are going to raise our children as part of this conversation as well, and talking about your differences and maybe hashing out or meeting in the middle kind of what you want your parenting style to look like.
It's so true. I actually have these weekly meetings with my husband. So we have the weekly parenting meeting, and we keep it separate from the intimacy and connecting meeting, right? So when we go out on date nights, when we get together, whether it's playtime or connection time, we make it a point to keep the kids out of the conversation as much as possible. So we have that time that we had prior to kids, because there was a time where we only had each other and we could focus on each other. But a lot of times as moms and dads, we tend to go out on date nights and we're talking about the kids. We're talking about schedules. We're talking about the to-do list. Well, are you picking up so-and-so tomorrow from swimming and bringing this one to soccer? And that's not a date night. And that's not time to connect on that level. So keeping it separate is also very important. Even if it's, and I know moms think, oh my goodness, this much takes so much time. All you need is a 15-minute connection meeting. 15 minutes, put down the phone, shut off Netflix, Hulu, and Prime, make the time, and you will be such a happier mommy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a business mentor right now, and our current module that we're working on is routines. And so many people say, I don't have the time. And one thing that she pointed out is that we're not keeping your old routine and your new routine. We are ditching the old routine and creating this new routine. Therefore, you're getting rid of something else in there to create the time. Are you getting up 15 minutes earlier? Are you having your coffee together in the morning every single day or maybe once a week? It could be so simple, yet we do try to make it so complex. And anytime you're doing something new, your brain's going to fight it. It's different. It's not what you're used to.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. When you said the waking up 15 minutes earlier, having coffee together, little things, like we said, little steps can make progress in ditching that old routine. And listen, and this came up for me when you were explaining ditching the old routine, things are going to happen, right? So you might have a plan, right? It's like that saying, you make the plan, you execute the plan, you let the plan go off the rails, and you throw away the plan. At least having a plan, if something happens to interrupt the plan, there's nothing wrong with going back to the plan or putting the plan off an hour or two or whatever it takes to take care of whatever the emergency is, whatever the need is, and not really focusing on, well, your plan went off the rails and now we have to just throw it out altogether. It's shifting. It's reshifting, reworking it, and continuing on with that routine, regardless of hammer got thrown into your plan.
I love that. You know, when I think of routines, something else that I love to compare them to is science experiments. And when I'm working with clients, a lot of times I talk to them about their quote, homework as a science experiment, and that you're trying it this way, and then you're changing it to see how it works into your schedule. And when your plan doesn't go as planned, that's an opportunity to adjust and see what fits better for you and your relationship, your lifestyle, whatever that looks like. And it's really an opportunity to invite in the change in a positive way.
It reminds me of the year 2020. And how we all had to pivot in some way, shape, or form. So if we think back, we've all made it, hopefully, to this point where we shifted and we refocused and we figured out how to change up that routine because it needed to be changed. So if you did it in 2020, good news, we're in 2022, so you have survived. You have thrived and you can continue to strive to be that amazing mom that you are, that is connected to her partner and so loving to her children.
I love that. I feel like you just summed up this whole podcast in like 1 minute.
You're welcome.
No, I love that though. And you're so right. So many of us started 2020 and it was a panic. And then we all adjusted and pivoted. For somebody who's a mom who now works from home, things changed. You had to change that. For me, as like a PA, my life changed to also working from home, and how do I create a home environment that allows that to happen? We've all had to pivot and change and adjust our typical schedules to allow for this new, which for a lot of us, I think, has brought in a lot of new opportunities and some positive changes and forced us to try something different.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you would like to add to today's conversation, or that you would like to tell moms or moms-to-bes out there?
Oh, absolutely. So much. But just know that at whatever stage of motherhood that you're in right now, know that you are loved and you are valuable, and people rely on you, whether it's your kids, your spouse, your family, your friends, and that, honey, you need to take care of you first before anyone. Just remember the three pillars: me time, we time, and family time. That's the three pillars. But always take care of yourself, because you are worth every bit of time and amount of money it takes to make you feel the best that you can. And one more thing, just because you've become a mom does not mean you have to be less sexual, does not mean you have to dress a certain way, and does not mean you have to change and become a watered-down version of who you used to be. So go forth, be yourself, take care of yourself, and the rest will follow, and your family will be happy and thank you for it.
I love that, Christy. I think that that is some bomb advice, and you don't have to water yourself down. I love that. I love that. Always so good to talk to you. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. Where can the listeners find you at, Christy?
Okay, yes. And it is a pleasure to talk to you also, Jordan. Thank you for having me. We can chat on Instagram. I'm on the gram, Christy, at Christy.thepassioncoach. So it's K-R-I-S-T-I-E, period, the passion coach. That's my Instagram. You can also find my website, www.christylincoaching.com. And that's where I hang out these days. I hope I get to meet you soon.
Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Christy.
Thank you for having me, Jordan.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life? Or feel like you're having good sex, but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode, and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.